When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're going inside him. We're going outside him. Inside him, outside him. Fight, 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 fight. What do you say, man?
Thing to do isn't to punch him, isn't to talk to him. There's only one way you get respect, and that's by looking somebody in the eye for 60 minutes.
It was a great game for college football.
And Notre Dame is going to go for 2 points. They're going to try to win it. Steenberg is going back to throw. He throws the end zone. It's caught by Keeney. Notre Dame is taking the lead over Purdue.
We just mapped out that entire season of climbing. Each week was a step, and those guys lived that theme. And we'll be bonded and connected for so many reasons forever from that year and that trip and then that season. That's when the theme has been realized and that we just go all in on it. It's a special season every time.
We're back for another week of Killalaney to the Summit, our series with Patrick Steenberg, our host of this from Global Football. Patrick, I'm excited about this one. It's another one. I didn't hear really or learn much about Chris Creighton until later in my career. I was at Baldwin-Wallace University, and the defensive coordinator there, Jim Meyer, would talk about one of his former players all the time, Chris Creighton. Jim coached him at Kenyon College, and then my offensive line coach, who came in some years later, was talking about the same guy, and he played for Chris at Wabash. So interesting to hear the stories from his head coach and then somebody that he coached. But he's another impactful leader.
Yeah, Chris and I became friends. I think it was at the coaches convention, the AFCA convention in 2005 we met. I always go there and have a Global Football booth where I can, you know, meet coaches from all walks of life. And we met there, and he was coaching at Wabash College, all-male school in Indiana, which has had, you know, good success in athletics and academics, and play in the big Monon Bowl game that I heard a lot about against DePaul.
Yes.
But he and I talked about travel. He had traveled. He had coached at an NAIA school prior to that and had taken his team to Europe. But he and I just kind of hit it off on our ideas of what the travel was to be about and how we were going to go about. And so we went to Austria and Germany, scared a bunch of big guys walking across a ridge that was, you know, it was 30 feet wide, so they weren't going to fall off, but it was about 1,000 feet down on either side, so you didn't want to fall off. And Chris and I were kind of laughing at that whole experience, but he was just a great guy, had great success at Wabash. He went to Panama in 2006 with his Wabash team, spent 3 days building basically a farm in the tropical rainforest for a community of natives there, a really empowering type of process, and then played in a downpour of rain. But Panama is an awesome country, very developed in a lot of ways with the American help. And then he took the job after that at Drake University. And that's where he and I really got to know each other, because after being there a year, he had this dream of taking his football team to Africa to play in the first game ever on the continent, and invited me to put it together with him and for him. And got to know him very well over the next 18 months. And we played the Global Kilimanjaro Bowl, a 16-day trip. I'm dying to get somebody else who has the guts of a Chris Creighton, the vision of him, because now we know what we're doing. That one we had to figure it out along the way. But we did 3 days of service work in orphanages and hospitals. And we took, as the opponent, we took a Mexico team, because NCAA rules was to play an off-season game, it has to be versus an international team. So we went there, did that event, and summited Mount Kilimanjaro, where the term the Killalaney to the summit came from. And that was just a magical, magical event. Got to know him very well. And then after a number of good years there, he took on the biggest challenge of his life at Eastern Michigan University. And he called me to tell me that the day after he took the job. And I said, Chris, I don't know much about them, but I don't think they've been real successful. And he said, no. He said, they haven't had a winning season in 26 years, but that's going to change. And now he's finished now 10 years at Eastern Michigan, and I believe he's been to the last 6 years' bowl games of the Eastern Michigan team. Chris is just a very, very special man. And I tell people all the time, he's the best man I know in college football. If I had a son right now growing up that it fit for him, I'd want him to play for Chris Creighton.
Well, it's a conversation I definitely enjoyed, and I know our listeners will too. Patrick and I will be back with the Winning Edge takeaways following the episode with Chris Creighton, head coach at Eastern Michigan. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes.
This is Patrick Steenberg, founder and president of Global Football, and welcome to our podcast. Today I've got a special friend, a longtime buddy I've traveled various places of the world with, and want to welcome from Eastern Michigan University, Coach Chris Creighton. Chris, where do we find you today?
Well, I think just like the rest of the country, I'm at home. It's a blue sky day, but yeah, I'm in a home office here trying to make the day count.
Wonderful. Well, you and I have done a number of things together over the last 16-17 years. I was going back in history, but do you remember, you know, before that first Wabash trip that we did in 2003 to Europe, do you remember how we happened to meet or how that even came together?
I do. There had been other folks that had taken the trip, and so I think I got their name from other Division III coaches, got your name, got Global Football's name, and had reached out that way. So I don't believe it was at the convention or anything like that. It was word of mouth. And so just reached out about, you know, our wanting to do a trip with you.
I'm always fascinated how people I've known for a while, you know, how we first get together. And it's great that you had that motivation, that impetus, I guess, to reach out to me. And then we did that first journey. And then we traveled again with Wabash down to Panama in 2006. And then, of course, our epic Tanzania journey in 2011. But let me go back a little bit in your life. As you were growing up and, you know, in your childhood, maybe through high school, can you recall mentors, people who coaches, people who had a, you know, still have a profound impact on your life from those days?
Oh, there's no question. The best coach that I ever had, his name is Greg Kalina, and he was our JV high school basketball coach at Roosevelt High School in Seattle, Washington, and then was an assistant with the varsity team and lost state championship my senior year by 1 point. But I'm telling you, that guy was the best coach that I ever had and is a friend to this day. But, you know, all coaches that, you know, when I was playing all the different sports obviously had an impact on me, and obviously my parents. At a relatively young age, I became a college head coach. And so I only had three head coaches when I was an assistant. And all three of those guys had an impact on my career as well. But they were all really short term. I was a graduate assistant with Jim Brown at Concordia University in Chicago. And then Dale Liston gave me my first first full-time job at Manchester College, hired me when I was over in Sweden. And then Dave Harms replaced Dale Liston after 2 years, and I coached with him at Manchester. And so all three of those guys I learned a lot from. But it's really been the coaches that I've worked with that, you know, I know what you're asking by saying mentor, and really just sitting around the table with Neil Nethery for whatever it's been now, you know, 18 years, or constantly talking to a really good friend of mine, Rod Sandberg, who's the head coach over at Whitworth, Pedro Ruza, you know, Rick Fox. We worked together for 6 years at Drake University. So instead of kind of growing up as a, you know, a longtime assistant with head coaches, it's really been colleagues, been guys, you know, on staff with me that have probably mentored me and grown me up more than anyone. Had I worked as an assistant for a long time, you know, the two coaches that I think have really impacted me without ever having played for him or worked for him would be Bill McCartney and Jim Tretball. And to this day, both of those men, I think, have had a profound impact on my career and on my life. But yeah, it's crazy because I, you know, again, never played for him or never worked with him.
You know, as you're talking there, I'm sensing your understanding of coaching being so much more than just, hey, I'm the boss, you know, but it's a team effort when you've got your coaches in your room, when you're together with your players. And I know you believe really strongly in, you know, having strong leaders and the team effort that happens. Tell me a little bit. I know we've had some great chances to talk in wonderful places around the world. Some evenings we've sat around and had a cup of coffee. And I know the closeness you have with Jim Tressel and how he impacted your life. Go into that story a little bit, because people still know, you know, about Jim Tressel. He's one of those icons from Ohio State years.
Yeah, no question. So it wasn't until, you know, spring of my senior year that I realized that I wanted to be a college coach. I was actually all signed up, ready to go, and excited about being a part of the second year of Teach for America. And so I was going to graduate, and then they were shipping us to USC for 2 months. And Teach for America is non-education majors who are basically going to do like a Peace Corps for 2 years of teaching in the States to the worst school districts. And so anyway, I was going to go teach first grade Spanish in Compton, LA. And was excited about it. And my spring break, though, I was with one of my best friends in Cleveland, Ohio one night. And we just started breaking down who I was from midnight till it ended up being about 3 o'clock in the morning. And make a long story short, at 3 a.m., without ever having considered it before, I said, I'm going to be a college coach. And so when spring break was over, I went back and my head coach, Jim Meyer, I said, man, I want to be a coach. What do I do? And he said, you need to go up to Youngstown State. And I'm from Seattle in Ohio, so I don't know Youngstown State or anything like that. And you need to meet with Jim Tressel. So he sets it up for me to go to one of their spring practices. And I show up and practice is going. And I have no idea who he is. I mean, there's no internet. I can't look him up.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's 14 coaches and I have no idea which one he is. And so practice finishes. Everybody takes a knee. And then this man gets up and for 2 minutes just basically talks about, hey, you know, shower up and we're going to have meetings. And I thought I was listening to the president of the United States. I mean, I just, my mouth hit the floor. I'm not kidding you. It was unbelievable. And then he ended up spending an hour and a half with me after the practice. And here's a guy who's, you know, never going to be able to contribute to anything, you know, that he's doing. And I just, that was an unbelievable hour and a half. And he finished it by handing me his winner's manual, which ended up becoming a book, which if people haven't read, they should. And I'm telling you that winner's manual just profoundly impacted me in terms of just opening up my eyes to what a football program, what a football experience could be.
Wow. And you've continued with that winner's manual concept, right? You do one every year with your teams.
I do. I, you know, if copy is the best way to flatter someone. I started calling it a champion's manual. I've been doing it since 1997, and it absolutely was birthed from Coach Tressel's winner's manuals. And now it's usually a little bit over 250 pages and has 0 pages of actual football. But it has everything to do with the program and the theme for the year, the program goals, and just motivation, goal setting. And I love doing it every year. I do. And it all comes from him.
And I've seen that in your office and in places you've been. How do you get that book, the contents of that, the thought, the themes, the energy of that? How do you relate that to your players and your fellow coaches?
Yeah, that's good. So the 250 plus pages aren't all new every year. So I update it every year. So with our 5 program goals, we'll put in the new articles that have to do with those goals or accomplishments that our guys, events that we've done that fall under each of those program goals. And so that's how it's kept alive and different every year. The part that is completely different every year is our theme. And so, every year, immediately after the season, we start asking the question, what does our team need to do? And or what does our team need to become in order to be our best or to take our next step as a team or as a program? And after usually months of daily deep thought, trying to answer that question, the theme just comes. And then we spend a lot of time researching the theme, getting ideas and articles and YouTube videos, whatever would have to do with that year's theme. And we compile all of that in the champion's manual. We give the champion's manual to each of our players on the first night of camp. And sometimes the theme's already been introduced. And sometimes the start of the season is really the first time that we're sort of unveiling the theme, and we make a big deal out of it.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com, and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. I've always been interested in the use of technology to make our jobs more effective, so I'm excited to continue sharing modern football technology with you here on the podcast. This innovative system leverages tendencies to improve self-scouting, game planning, and in-game decision-making at the speed of the game. Modern football stands out because it's a battle-tested platform used by teams at all levels, like 4-time national champion Bishop Gorman, the 5-time California State champion Folsom Bulldogs, 6-time Texas State champion Lake Travis, Cal football, and the CFL's Grey Cup champions, the Montreal Alouettes. So book a demo today to see why these teams trust modern football technology. Visit www.teammofo.com/demo and mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code CC10 to receive 10% off your first year.
And I've been around you. Remember last year when we were up waiting to summit Pikes Peak with your seniors and some of your coaches, and we sat around the campfire talking about that theme. And that was one of the more moving nights, of my adulthood, just listening to your players, these young men from all different backgrounds talk about that theme and what it meant to them. How does that theme, like you say, how does that carry you through the season? Because every season has its ups and downs, right? I mean, it's pretty rare that somebody goes 13-0. So how does that theme stay with you every day and through the adversities of the season?
That's an awesome question. And honestly, you know, I've done this enough years now where there have been, out of the whatever it's been, 22 or 23, there have been probably several years that I have not done as good of a job as I should have and could have of keeping the theme alive. And so definitely learn from my mistakes. And so we are very intentional with how we keep the theme alive. And it's a little bit different every year, but and how we do that. But, you know, now we plaster it all over the building.
Yeah.
And so on the back of t-shirts, put it on the helmet. So there's that way, but it's the stories and it's the reminders and it's the talks as a team that are weekly, if not daily, that keep the theme alive. Here's something I think is interesting. Since we put so much time and thought into what the theme should be for that year, that I think that we nail it every year. Because if you don't nail that, then it's all for naught, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going through hard times, the season started and it's not relevant or whatever. But most every year, if not every year, we've nailed the theme. And here's the challenge I have for our staff and to our seniors is that, and this is true, that the teams that have lived the theme always have had a special season. I mean, it's just, it is 100%. And Patrick, you are an enormous part of our 2011 theme and season with Tuponde Kilalani.
Yeah.
Right? Our epic, as you called it, you know, trip to Tanzania, Africa for 2 weeks with our Drake football team. And Tuponde Kilalani, you know, is let's climb to the summit together in Swahili. And part of that trip was we climbed a 6-day, you know, summit climb of Mount Kilimanjaro, the rooftop of Africa. And so that was our theme. We had it through that spring and then into the season. And we had not won a conference championship at Drake up until that point. And I don't know if you remember, but Pat Cashmore, our running back, when they captured him kissing the wooden sign at the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yep.
And then when we were having our debrief a few days later before we were about to leave, Cam Good, you know, said he had a vision of when he was videoing Pat Cashmore of kissing the rooftop of Africa's sign of him hoisting the Pioneer Football League trophy at the end of the season on the field and kissing it as we were winning the league championship. And so you fast forward a couple months later, it's a home game against a rival Dayton to win the league. We win the league. The trophy is on the field and we're all celebrating and going nuts. And Pat Cashmore raises up the trophy and kisses it, you know, and, you know, I mean, my life was over. I mean, you could have taken me right then and there and I'd have been just fine. And so, and that, you know, we just mapped out that entire season of climbing, right? Each week was a step, and those guys lived that theme, and we'll be bonded and connected for so many reasons forever, you know, from that year and that trip and then that season. But, you know, that's when the theme has been realized and that we just go all in on it. It's just, it's a special season every time.
And you have to make that, I mean, visible to your guys, right? Because you're dealing with 22-year-olds whose minds are everywhere. They're studying, they got girlfriends, they got things at home, they got football. You've got to keep that in front. And as I recall being in the Drake locker room, you did a kind of an outline of the steps of Kilimanjaro. And each step was like spring practice, you know, spring game, first game, get right. You had every step right there. So they saw it every day. Am I correct?
You got it. Yeah, absolutely. We mapped out. The climb was the map out of the year. And I've always said that we're not trying to find a slogan for the back of a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And we are trying to find the answer to those questions that I had talked about. And so sometimes when I first talk to the seniors or the staff about it, it's not like, oh, that's awesome. Like, oh yeah, that sounds really good. You know, it's more, they contemplate it. And it doesn't always sound sexy, but it when it's right, it's right. and it works. And so it's not for other people. And now we're, at a Division I school. And so the marketing people want to grab a hold of it and all that. And that's fine, but that's not what it's for. It's an internal, this is what we need to do. This is who we need to be in order to be our best. And I think sticking with that principle, whether it's sexy or not, has really served us well.
That's wonderful to hear. Hey, you've coached, and as I went back, on your bio today, you coached in Sweden, you've been at a small Division III school, you've coached in the NAIA, you've coached at Drake, a non-scholarship school. Now you're at Eastern Michigan in the MAC, playing against Big Ten teams and everybody else. There's obviously different levels of players within those, but what would you say is the commonality of the student athletes and of creating teams wherever you go? They're, even though they're different levels, because I know we've got coaches and players listening to this that may be at a top level high school, at a small high school, some youth kids, some coaches at different levels. What can you talk about the commonality of teams at every level?
Yeah, that's, I hope I can convey this, and this is going to sound so simple, but I wondered the exact thing that you're asking. When I started coaching the first time, it was just, I was 22 years old and it was Division III to Division III, but I was still, the question, are these guys going to be different? How is this going to be different? Or are they going to seem older or younger, or, whatever. And then went from Division III to NAIA, and this is scholarship players, and they're from all over. And what are they going to be like? And then just like you said, to Drake, to Eastern Michigan, whatever. Here's the answer. Okay. And again, at first, it may not seem to be all that profound, but I think it actually is. They're all 18 to 22.
Yeah.
And so the 18-year-old at Drake is not different than the 18-year-old at Ottawa. And the 18-year-old at Ottawa is not different than the 18-year-old at Eastern Michigan. And the 18-year-old at Ottawa is not different than the 18-year-old at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Now, the resources that they get and, how they're treated and the program that they, all of those things are different. But to some degree, I've almost been intimidated is too strong now. But there's that sense of wonder. And to some degree, I remember freaking out about going from Drake to Eastern Michigan, just like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be so different. And this is Division I and all that kind of stuff. And I look back at that now and I just laugh at myself.
Yeah.
When I think about my guys, and I don't mean laugh because they're a joke. It's just because they're awesome guys. They're 18 to 22 every year.
Yeah. And there's a commonality when, as I talk to guys, and every once in a while, some they'll say, why didn't you get into coaching, Patrick? And I said, because I remember what I was like at 18 years old. I wouldn't.
That's right.
I wouldn't want to trust my life to me, but yeah, you do that and you do that in an amazing way. Hey, tell me a quick story. And this just popped into me, Chris. Remember we're in Panama, right? And that was the second trip we had done together. And you really wanted to focus on service. You said, our trip to Switzerland, Austria was outstanding. We did some really cool things, hiking up in the mountains. But I know in Panama, when we talked to develop that, you wanted to really focus on service and, getting these kids to give back to somebody. And we ended up working, with that communal group up in the rainforest, eating chicken soup for lunch that was as fresh as you could ever have. And we just created, this little farm for this community that all lived up in the rainforest. And do you remember the massive rock? We were digging a tilapia pond, right? We had to dig this. The goal was to dig this pond that, say, was, 10 yards by 5 yards, kind of a big oblong on the side of a mountain. And we had to get it like 3 feet deep. And then they were going to be able to, raise tilapia fish for protein there, forever. But as we dug, we ended up, this rock in the middle of it got bigger and bigger as we removed the dirt. Tell me your memories of that rock.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it did. It just kept getting bigger and bigger. But my memory, and this is what I love about, my Wabash guys, the bigger the rock became, the more determined those guys were to get it out. That thing could have gone all the way down to China and they'd be right down there digging right now. You know what I mean? This many years later, it was, and you remember the rain came and it's just muddy and pouring down rain and the guys are singing songs together and just getting after it. It was such a beautiful deal. I mean, they raised money, right? This should not be in your promotional materials, right? raise money to go, you know, in the pouring down rain and the mud to dig out a rock. But if you remember, I mean, we had an epic game and we're practicing the Bridge of America's there and got to go through the Panama Canal, got to go into the jungle. We were on the beach, you know, we're in Panama City. And to this day, the guys say that the best part of the trip was working on that remote farm for those first two or three days, doing all the different things that we did. And it's just, it's crazy how that works. But I think it was just the attitude of our guys. They enjoyed being with each other and enjoyed a challenge and to some degree enjoyed serving and trying to make things better for other people. But that was another epic challenge right there. And just all the pictures of all those guys just drenched with the rain coming down and just, you know, toe to head mud, but they were victorious in the end.
They got it out when that massive boulder finally moved. There was just this incredible crescendo of, you know, you thought you'd just beaten San Diego.
Right? Yeah. I mean, no doubt.
You won the Monon Bowl right there, you know, when you got that done. So tell me about, you know, every coach does this. I mean, you've taken on some big challenges as you've gone through your career, but talk about overcoming adversity a little bit, because every student athlete you're dealing with at some point is going to have to overcome minor or major adversities. Every coach has to, everybody in life, right? I mean, you know, our time in America and place in the world. Talk a little bit about how you get your guys to focus on that and things maybe, you know, a tough adversity in your life maybe that you've had to overcome that you can look back on now.
Well, Patrick, I've learned a lot of this from you. Probably haven't ever told you that before, but you often talk about a speech that Coach Parsegian had given to you all when you were playing at Notre Dame about every team has a breaking point and how Notre Dame, that you guys didn't have a breaking point. And I've thought a ton about that because you can get really deep really quick with that question.
Yeah.
And the question is, what is or do we have a breaking point? And the answer to that, and maybe not question and answer, but the antithesis to that is knowing what your purpose is. And again, that's where it gets really deep. But if you have purpose and you know what that purpose is, and if that is a light purpose, you know, then you're essentially willing to die for it. And so that at the deepest point, right? And then you can have purposes that are still very meaningful and strong that aren't necessarily life and death. But I do really think that it's those two things that war against each other. And that is your purpose versus the breaking point being just whatever adversity comes your way. And so as individuals, like I'll tell you, I don't know how to articulate this, but you know, my first two seasons here, I knew and know for sure that this is where I'm supposed to be. My wife and I at Eastern Michigan, I mean, it was crystal clear and confirmed and affirmed several times. It's been confirmed and affirmed throughout the years that this is where we're supposed to be. And I needed that. I didn't need that, you know, just to come. I needed it for that reason too, but then I needed it to withstand going 2-10 and 1-11 in the first 2 years and just all that comes with that. And I'll tell you, the second season, so we'd gone 2-10 and now we're 1-8 going to Miami, and Miami was 1-8. My job is to make sure that the guys get off the bus and play football. And we went down to Oxford, Ohio and never got off the bus. It was, and I find out, you know, later it was like, well, hey, they were 1-8. So we just felt as though we were going to win. And it's like, oh boy. Remember, we were 1-8 too. So
yeah.
I just totally failed getting our team ready and not to take anything away from Miami. But You know, if I'm being honest, after the game, I was at a breaking point. I mean, I remember, I don't know how old I was at this time, but 45 years old or 46 years old. And I literally called my mom before I got on the bus. And I said, I am experiencing failure. Like, this is what it feels like to fail. And I don't know that I, honestly, if I'd really failed before. I mean, like, I tried guitar lessons but and didn't like them, and I couldn't play guitar. But I mean, you know, I mean, it wasn't something that, you know, where I was felt like a failure. And so, I mean, I was really at the same time, though, deep down, I knew there was a purpose for me being here. I knew that I was supposed to go through this, even if that was what I was supposed to experience was failure, you know, which is obviously something needed for growth. But yeah, I mean, I was at that breaking point. I put 2 years of my life in this thing, and just, you know, we weren't a very good football team. But I can't articulate it very well, but even though I wanted to feel bad and I felt bad and I felt failure, at the same time, I just knew, I mean, shoot, I was talking about Bill McCartney on the bus ride down there. I was listening to the 30 for 30 about Bill McCartney, and I had my headphones on. I'm sitting in the front seat, and they flashed to a Promise Keepers during the 30 for 30 series where he is exhorting the men at this Promise Keepers. And he was saying, you know, stay the course, And it was just a couple second shot of him at this deal, but it brought me to tears. I mean, it literally, and this was on the bus going down to Miami, and it did. I mean, I'm in the bus trying to make sure no one can see me, but I got tears rolling down my face because he was exhorting, but that was in my spirit. Like, he was speaking to me. And so, you know, that was whatever, 24 hours before I was experiencing this feelings of failure. And so I always still knew that I was supposed to be here and didn't think that it was going to end poorly, but it's because of the purpose. Knowing that I had purpose in being there is what, if anything, sustained me, what was able to. So it's an awesome question. I don't know if that's a very good answer, but
you explain it well. And obviously, you and I talked when you took that Eastern Michigan job, which I said, what are you, crazy? And you said, yeah, a lot of your coach buddies asked the same thing. You know, you went into a challenge that had not had a winning season, like 26 years, never gone to a bowl game. Now, each year you've been able to defeat, you know, a Power Five team. You know, you've been able to get to bowl games. You've been able to get, you know, get winning seasons, and you got guys. And I know you've got other challenges and goals right there, but just a couple other quick things. One thing I've known about you forever, and probably why we get along, is you live life with passion, right? I mean, you get up every day, and we all get days when we don't feel like it, but you get at it with great passion. Why do you do this? I mean, you know, you could be coaching anywhere. You didn't have to take on that challenge, but what drives you every day, Chris, to live it with such passion?
No, that's an awesome question. I don't know. There's so many ways that I could answer that. And then, you know, part of the answer is I don't totally know, but gosh, the reason that I started coaching probably wasn't to try to impact guys' lives. I was 22 years old. I mean, I probably just couldn't do anything else. And it always been in leadership roles and just loved making the team as good as we could be as a player. But when I became a head coach, I had a vision statement, and it wasn't because I had a master's class that said, come up with a vision statement. It was just something that was in my mind. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And when I was thinking about taking over this first program, it was like I told you on my phone call earlier, it was, man, I got to get these guys overseas. They've got to experience that. I've got to get them to climb a mountain. Because those were things that were just relevant in my life. And so I wanted my guys to experience them. And so my statement became, my vision is to make playing football at Eastern Michigan or at Drake or Wabash or Ottawa one of the most incredible experiences of our guys' lives. And part of that goes back to Coach Trestle's winner's manual. It just opened up my world to, if we're going to have 100 or so guys every year, those formative years where from 18 to 22, no matter how they've been raised, they're away from home most for the very first time. And those years are when they're actually deciding who they're going to be, no matter how they've been raised. They're making those grown-up decisions for themselves. And, you know, what an awesome time of life to be alongside these young men. And so the passion coaching-wise is when I'm laying in bed at night and whatnot, you know, I'm thinking about power or how we can our pin punt or whatever. But really what gets me fired up is just making it one of the most incredible experiences of our guys' lives. And so that's probably like the coaching piece, but there's more to it. I mean, it's just getting guys to believe in something bigger than themselves. I mean, I'm just, that fires me up. It fires me up when people look down on you and sort of the haves and have nots or who's better and who's not. I mean, I love fighting that. I love fighting against society. I mean, I've been fighting against peer pressure, you know, ever since the seventh grade. And so I think that there's, you know, passion that comes from that. But ultimately, it really does derive from my faith. I think Jesus was the most passionate person to ever walk this earth. And unlike so many people think, he's not a passionless, weak, soft, permissive person. He's the toughest person who's ever walked this earth. And if you read his word, it's, he basically calls us out. He wants people who are all in, who are completely committed, who are all passion, and who are willing to give up their lives for the life that he has. And so I think it's impossible to do without doing it with passion. I mean, the lukewarm, he says he wants to spit out. That's how I feel that I am most of the time, either not hot or cold. And so I really do believe that my purpose comes from that faith and just how he lived his life and the relationship that I have with him now. I don't think that there's any other way to live claiming the thing that I claim in terms of trying to be a follower of Jesus.
Well, thank you, Chris. This is inspiring to me. It's all, I always enjoy talking to you more. So I enjoy it when we get to go to the tops of mountains together. We'll keep doing that, I'm sure, until somebody will be pushing us up those dang mountains. Chris, just as a final note, here's your team in front of you, right? All these young men and women around the world who, you know, could be listening to you today. What's your final exhortation for today to maybe people who need some motivation today?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would just say that when there's tough times, there's always opportunity. And so it's just changing our mindset right now, this morning, about what this day can hold for us opportunity-wise. After the first 2 years, the really tough years here at Eastern Michigan, after the last game, which we lost to a rival, I put a sign up outside and over the top of our team meeting room. And so when the guys came in for the last meeting, which was also the first meeting of the next year, they saw this sign. And I had it, it was in diamond plate, and it said, "Tough times don't last, tough people do." That is truth. But there's a decision. It's not some are and some aren't. It's a decision. Who are you? Who are we going to be? Are you going to be a tough person? And to realize that today has unbelievable opportunity, even amidst the challenges. And I think that when we look at things in a positive light, choose to go in that direction, I think that you've got a chance. I also want to say this, Patrick, and for everybody who's listening, is that you are so good at what you do. And I think that one of the things that you do is that you serve people. You serve them by giving them usually life-changing opportunities or once-in-a-lifetime opportunities with the different trips that you give. But what you do is you serve people. You know, and you do that when you're on the trip. It's always about just trying to make it a special experience for everybody else. And I do think in times like this as well, the more that we can get outside of ourselves and to be others-centered, things change. So for someone who's sitting at home and they're in quarantine or, you know, just getting old and getting hard, when you're thinking about yourself, then you can get yourself into a pretty dark place. But when you're looking not only for opportunity to make things better, but to serve others, it fundamentally changes you on the inside. And I see that in you, Patrick. You've got an awesome life, an awesome family, and you're always positive, but you're always serving other people. And I think those two things go hand in hand.
Thanks, Chris. I'm blessed to know you, to share some of the wonders of the world, and we will stay in touch forever. All right, folks, the end of our podcast for today. Coach Chris Creighton from Eastern Michigan. Go Eagles. Thank you.
Patrick, what really comes through is the leadership of Coach Creighton. He's a guy who has a vision. He obviously sees beyond the game here. I think he does much more that's impactful beyond the wins and losses. But for you, going back through this episode, what were your takeaways from this one that you think can help other coaches out there?
I mean, you nailed it right there. You talked about his leadership is just incredible. He doesn't follow anybody. He finds the way that he thinks is the right way to go, sets a purpose, and shares that with his teammates, his assistant coaches. Let's have a purpose. What is our mission here? And creates the vision. So it's basically in anything you're doing, takes the purpose, drive your passion and your commitment through the tough times. So that's the first one. The second thing I would say, he talks a lot about resilience and overcoming adversity, to basically embrace the adversity as an opportunity for growth. You know, you're going to have tough times, right? Every coach who's been through anything realizes some first quarters don't work well, but just stick with it. And just to maintain that mindset and focus on overcoming the obstacles rather than being defeated. Chris has a great way of explaining that. And then he's all about service, and it's an other-centered approach. Like I said, we went to Panama, and you know, and these guys paid a couple thousand dollars to take this trip, and we spent 3 days sloshing around in jungle mud to build a farm and to dig a tilapia pond, you know, where these folks could have food that they grew and help them live a better life. So he's very, very focused on service, even with your teammate, with a guy playing next to you, somebody you can trust. Chris just has a great way with young men, a great vision, a great purpose, and he takes everything to the summit, a reason he and I get along so well.
I really appreciate you sharing this conversation with us. I'm really excited that we're able to bring these back. You know, you did these, you know, what, I guess 4 years ago now, and as I said, as relevant today as they were then, maybe even more so. So I'm excited that we continue on with this series, and I appreciate you allowing us to bring this to our listeners here on Coaching Coordinator. Be sure to check out our partner Global Football at globalfootball.com. And for your fundraising needs, check out Vertical Raise at verticalraise.com, an innovative platform which we'll be sharing more about here on the podcast. Follow all we're doing at coachandcoordinator.com and follow us on X at Coach K Grabowski.